When it comes to the current events, I'd like to take a few moments to talk about the violation of Polish airspace by Russia. I might have mentioned this already last time, but there was this drone which went into Polish territory for 95 kilometers without anything happening. And so the fear is that Russia is testing whether air defenses are functioning at 100% capacity. In the meantime, articles were published this week. And of course, you have to be careful with the accuracy. Some of that is based on rumors, on speculations, on unnamed sources. But anyhow, the word is that Mr. Putin is planning an attack on a NATO country as early as this month. Now we'll see whether it is true. We'll see whether this comes to fruition. If it does, it would obviously pose a tremendous problem for the whole situation, especially over there in Europe. So there's an article we published titled "How China Won the Iran War." Yeah, you heard me right, "How China Won the Iran War." And the article says, amongst other things, Donald Trump has weakened us with astonishing speed. China has been a serious geopolitical rival to the United States for some time. China's manufacturing sector overtook the United States in 2010, and the gap has continued to grow. Trump launched a war that cut off much of the world's oil supply without so much as consulting other nations. Once the war began, America proved both incapable of imposing its will on Iran and unable either to open the Strait of Hormuz or to protect regional allies. Now listen to this interesting comment. I'll come back to this later. The end of U.S. leadership and China's growing geopolitical ascendancy are bad things. China is a corrupt autocracy with little respect for human rights and none at all for democratic values. That's obviously very true, but the emphasis here is the end of U.S. leadership. We have been telling you, I don't know for how long, that America's leadership in the world will end before America is going to be attacked. And we are seeing this happening more and more already, and more people are seeing it now who have no clue insofar as what the Bible is concerned. They are just looking at the events. We also published an article talking about July 20, 1944. Now I wonder, maybe I should ask for a show of hands here, who remembers what happened on July 20, 1944? Everybody's raising their hands. Nah. Oh yeah, some do. That was a day when they tried to assassinate Adolf Hitler, but of course that assassination attempt failed. The Kölner Stadtanzeiger wrote, "July 20 stands for the necessity of resistance when the fulfillment of duty constitutes a crime." And a very famous writer addressed the new recruits over there in Germany, saying, "Should a future federal government seek to lead you into a war that is as blatantly contrary to international law and as politically disastrous as a recent war waged by the United States and Israel against Iran, it will be your duty to refuse the order. The threat to annihilate an entire civilization or a declared attack on a country's civilian infrastructure constitutes such an obvious wrong that one need to be neither a lawyer nor consult one's own conscience to recognize it." Then he goes on to say, "Dear recruits," and that is almost prophetic. Well, actually, it is prophetic. "Dear recruits, young as you are, there's a possibility that war could return to Germany. From a historical perspective, It's unlikely that your lives will unfold during a time of peace. And then he says, no matter how viciously the enemy shows up, behaves from your perspective, and boy, is that a statement now, he remains a human being just like you. For if you view the enemy as an animal, as a mere blip on a monitor, or as a monster, simply to make it easier to kill him, then you will transform yourself into an animal, an AI, or a monster. Think about that. That is so true. And that is why every war fought by human beings is ungodly in the eyes of God. He concludes by saying, I have never held a weapon in my hands, but as a reporter, I have witnessed enough wars up close to know how quickly people become brutalized. There is no war, nor yesterday's, not today's, not tomorrow's, in which the fighting cannot suddenly devolve into bloodlust, sadism, and sexual violence. Isn't that the truth? I mean, even seeing videos posted by the White House, the Pentagon, where boats with people in those boats are just blown up. Just blown up. Live videos. People just wiped out like that. Where's the outcry to those blatant violations? I don't hear much, do you? I also want to talk about AI, since we are hearing a lot about AI. And I wonder whether we realize how dangerous and how destructive AI really is. This is an article by Politico writing this. A leading artificial intelligence model from Anthropic created fake online personas and tried to deceive human coders into abetting a cyber attack during a recent safety evaluation. In another sign of worrying behavior, multiple AI agents appeared to communicate with one another about how to solve the cyber evaluation. This is being described as an example of unexpected collaboration between different autonomous AI agents. I mean, you think of the Terminator movies, and you can't help but wonder how true these movies already have become. In the work section, we are talking about the fact that a new Standing Watch program has been produced, titled USA Dangerously Short on Essential Missiles. Here's a summary. According to several reports, the Army has used virtually all of its inventories of its necessary missiles, complicating the military's ability to respond to future crises and adversarial attacks. In addition, it is claimed that the USA must fundamentally and speedily redesign its weapons. President Trump reacted angrily, denying these and similar reports, and threatened the leakers with jail. Obviously, something isn't adding up, because if there's nothing to the reports, what did the leakers leak? Well, obviously, something is to be considered. And the fact that Mr. Trump denies it makes it even more plausible that it's true. We also did the same program in German, and then we posted all the different messages from last week and this week for the Germans on the websites. I have to say that the reactions right now, the responses to our programs, and also the requests for literature is down. I can see it from the posts, I can see it from the responses. It should be double the size, normally it would be. But as I said, everybody seems to be on vacation, and nobody seems to be really paying attention. And that will also backfire, because a lot of things are happening in the world. A lot of things which the American press hasn't reported on, but others have, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that too now. The Guardian, an English paper, is pointing out that moderators from Fox News are now becoming more and more critical of Donald Trump and his war. They say, of course, now John Hannity, you might as well forget him, you know, and you might as well forget all those, or most of the moderators on Newsmax. But here are some who have voiced concerns. Laura Ingraham, Britt Hume, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, John Roberts, even, believe it or not, Jesse Waters, who normally is a 150% follower of Donald Trump. They all are now concerned that this Iran war is going nowhere and that the politics by the White House are going the wrong way. Of course, Trump's ballroom is on hold. You've heard that. Court of Appeal has said, no, you can't do it without congressional approval. It's a $400 million ballroom. Trump said, no, they should not have gotten involved here because I didn't need Congress approval because everything is being paid for from corporations and wealthy people. Really? In May, he requested $1 billion for the ballroom. But the Congress refused him. So we'll see what comes out of that. The decision said, well, you know, Trump is just a tenant in the White House. Oh, he didn't like that at all. I mean, he was just spewing fire and brimstone when he heard that. I'm more than a tenant in the White House. Well, technically he is just a tenant. And once he is done, he has to move out. Anyway, so he didn't like it. He also tries again to do away with birthright citizenship, even though, of course, the Supreme Court has said, no, you can't do it. Now they are talking about birth tourism. But as the article I have here in front of me, which was published by Newsweek, is stating very clearly, the 14th Amendment broadly guarantees citizenship to nearly everyone born in the United States. And attempts to narrow that protection through executive action is unconstitutional. Trump said, nope, what I'm doing is constitutional. It's funny. It's funny. Because his belief that what he is doing is constitutional is meaningless for numerous reasons. First of all, he isn't even a lawyer. He admitted that much. He said he doesn't know about the Constitution. He said he doesn't know, he doesn't understand the Constitution. He doesn't know whether he has to uphold it. So if he says some of his actions are constitutional, I mean, since I've licensed to practice since 1986, I've been dealing with a lot of constitutional issues. I'm the first one telling you, I don't understand everything about the Constitution, especially how it's going to be interpreted and reinterpreted. So what Mr. Trump may know means nothing. It looks like to me that thing is going to fail again, and he's going to be challenged with a lawsuit, and I believe that the United States Supreme Court will again block him, turn him down, saying no, the birthright citizenship is going to stay, and you cannot limit it any further. Let's talk about Iran. You all heard about the idea that the Strait of Hormuz is going to be opened. A deal is being made between Iran and Oman. We don't know too much about that deal. But what we did hear so far is that the proposal would ban ships connected to the United States, Israel, and other quote-unquote hostile countries from the key waterway, until Iran receives compensation for war damages, and commercial vessels passing through the strait would be subject to fees for up to 7% of cargo value and 20% fine for non-compliance. Of course, Trump has always said, no, absolutely not, there's not going to be any fee. And Well, if that's in fact part of the deal, and he agrees to that deal, then again it would be a complete and utter and total defeat, even if it comes to the waterway. But this article by NPR also said, current negotiations are focused on the waterway reopening rather than issues like uranium enrichment, which Trump originally cited as justification for the war. So you don't hear much about that, except for his repeated statement like, oh, well, you know, they're not going to have a nuclear weapon. Well, okay, if you want to believe that. Now, another article points out that Iran is trying to protract the negotiating, designed to keep Donald Trump embroiled in the Iran conflict until the midterm elections, in the hope of inflicting the same blow on his presidency as Jimmy Carter suffered over the 1979 to 81 US embassy hostage crisis. And Iran has just announced that even if they come up with an agreement between Oman and Iran, the idea being both sides are going to ask for fees, that it would take 2 to 4 months to reach the second phase of negotiations. Well, if that's the case, it gets you right into the midterm elections and beyond. And of course, just to repeat what the midterm elections are all about, it's going to talk about the constellation of Congress. At this point, the Republicans have a slight majority, very slight, in the Senate and the House. But it doesn't look like to me that they will hold that majority. They're going to lose. The only question is, how big are they going to lose? How many seats will be given to the Democrats? And depending on how big the victory of the Democrats is, Trump would end up as a lame duck. Can't do anything except giving one executive order after the other, which is being challenged all the time. And if the Democrats are in charge, you can be rest assured they're able to challenge whatever they can challenge. So it's going to be an interesting time ahead of us. I have more articles. I want to just give you headlines. These are German articles published today by Bild Online. The headline was, Trump caught in the Iran trap. Interesting article. Another one published by T Online, saying America's era is coming to an end. Again, very similar to what we have just read earlier. America's era is coming to an end. Now, there's one statement in this article which I found very interesting. It says, the balance of power is shifting rapidly, compounded by the most profound technological revolution since 150 years ago. Artificial intelligence is transforming the entire economic landscape. And only the digital economy is saving the United States from a severe recession. And so Donald Trump is really promoting AI as much as he can, probably seeing himself what it otherwise would do to the economy, but more and more people are getting very, very concerned about AI, and so we'll see where that's going to end up. We also talk about Spain, the Spanish debacle, and actually some articles will point out a humanitarian disaster. It's not over yet at all, and it's a disaster especially for children. Children, some only 11 or 12 years old, lying, sleeping on the street, having no place to go, without any adults. It's terrible if you think about what is happening in this world. But the one thing I want to mention before I close is the situation with Israel. And the Guardian wrote on August 4 or 5, I say, or 5 because the article of August 4 was simply and slightly modified on August 5. Jordan is convening an emergency meeting of foreign ministers from the Arab and Islamic world over what it says is an imminent threat of an Israel takeover of the most important Muslim site in Jerusalem. Guess what that site is. It says Amman has also been alarmed at a recent recruitment drive for religious Jews for a special Temple Mount police unit and is braced for more direct challenges to traditional Jordanian custodianship by extremist Israeli leaders in the major Jewish holidays in September. It's interesting that all these catastrophic events seem to happen around the time of trumpets, atonement, Feast of Tabernacles. Again here, they're afraid something major is going to happen during the holidays in September. This year, those holidays will come amid an intense election campaign in which the far-right coalition of the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, will be fighting for survival. Benjamin Netanyahu needs their votes, otherwise he's not going to be re-elected. Now, why is that so important when it comes to the far-right parties? Now, this meeting took place this Wednesday, but then Deutsche Welle reported today as to what the result, the outcome of that meeting was. It says the statement issued after this week's meeting in Jordan was blunt about what might happen next. Israeli infringements of one of Islam's holiest sites, the Al-Aqsa Mosque in East Jerusalem, could lead to a, quote, religious conflict with repercussions that would extend beyond the region and threaten regional and international peace and security. The foreign ministers of 10 countries belonging to the Arab League said after Wednesday's meeting. The statement was also signed by ministers from Indonesia, Pakistan, Turkey, of course Turkey, and Malaysia. So they are really concerned. Now we have to again wait and see how this threat materializes, whether it's going to materialize in any way, or more likely, that the Arab world thinks it's going to, and launch a preemptive strike. We know that the battle over Al-Aqsa is going to occur. And the article, and I didn't quote all that, the articles also point out that there are right-wing groups which have said that they are going to destroy Al-Aqsa in order to be able to build the third temple. So stay tuned for those articles. I'm sure there's going to be more coming on that one. But I believe you can see how all of that is very prophetic.